Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 21 this evening, Matthew chapter 21. Going to look at one of those great questions of the Bible tonight. Jesus is asking the religious leaders a question to try to teach them something that they needed to learn. And I know the focus won't be as much on the question, but more about this idea of work and the work of the Lord. And I know work is something that some people think is a dirty word or a four-letter word because they don't like to do work. But there is a work that God's given us to do and called us to do. Even when God created the heaven and the earth, He says that He took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God's intention and God's plan was for work. And now, in the day and time that we live in, God's given us a work and a job to do. And how we're going to look at that and this parable. Inside the context, it teaches us, there's a phrase in there that I'm interested in tonight that teaches us and we can apply to our own work and the work of the Lord tonight. And a lot of different great verses about work and what God's trying to do. Now, how does God work? God works in the hearts of man, and that's praise the Lord for that. I'm still thankful for the day that Christ saved me. He worked in my heart, and I responded in the fact that I asked Christ to save me. He spoke to my heart, my needs, showed me my need, was convicted of my sin. And praise the Lord that we have the opportunity to let God work in our hearts. And then I also consider how God works through the local church. I think I'm a local church guy. I do understand when the Bible's talking about there in the local church and how God works through the ministries of the local church and how the outreach goes through the local church and things like that. And so in that context, and I'd like to look at some different work that God's given us to do. He said, why are you mentioning local church? Well, in our Sunday school class, and we call it the young adult class that's in there. If I'm 47, I don't know if I'm able to be a young adult or not, but I'm only the teacher. Some of them are close to my age too, but I'm sure we're all young adults. But you go back, and we've been talking about the church, been talking about how we're members one another, and I'm not going to preach the whole lesson again because they already heard it. Plus, also, I believe many of our Sunday school classes will be going through the series at one point in time, whether it's the teens or whether it's even the adult class, about the importance of the phrase one of another and how we're supposed to treat one another, provoke one another, love one another. But been talking about how we're members one of another, how God has brought together a group inside of a local church, and how we are supposed to work together, and how what it's supposed to be picture-like. In Romans chapter 12, it's a beautiful picture. You sit there and you read Romans chapter 12, preferring one another, and all those other things, and you're thinking, wow, that doesn't describe many churches out there, but that's the picture of the perfect church, a picture of the church the way that God intended it for it to be. And in Romans chapter number 12, it talks about the gifts, how we're members of one body, talked about the gifts. And then we talked about this morning about gifts that God's given us. We heard people sing tonight, heard people play instruments. Those are some talents that God's given us. There are spiritual gifts that God's given us, and there's a list of different spiritual gifts in Romans chapter number 12, and how God's given us those gifts. Now, some people are boastful about those gifts. Some people let themselves get puffed up about them, but they're divine gifts. They're gifts that God has given us, and He's given it to us for a purpose and a reason. He has a work He wants us to do. He has a work that He wants the local church to do. He has a work that He wants us to do through the local church. Now, I know there are other places and other people who do things outside the local church, and they're doing things effectively and things like that. But here, inside the Bible and inside the different messages and provoking one another, it's talking about inside our local church. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to get along with one another. We're supposed to be able to unite together. And it's a beautiful picture when it's a unique group of people. We look across the room. Some people are from up north. I know they look at those and they think that they're weird. Some people are from down south. Some people are places where nobody claims you and different things like that. And so all those different things, all different backgrounds, probably all different types of financial revenue or how much money we have or how much money we don't have. But God places people inside of a church. Once again, God does it according to His own liking, according to His will, according to His plan. He enables and gives us divine gifts to be able to use in the local church. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's great. But the problem is sometimes people have the wrong looking at it. And we're not going to go to 1 Corinthians, but in 1 Corinthians it talks about the hand saying to the foot, because he's not the hand, he's not worth it, anything, or, you know, the eye and the ear and things like that. But It's the idea here, as a church, there is a work that needs to be done. And God works through the local church, and God uses the local church here, and he's given each of us talents and abilities. The question for tonight is, who did the will of his Father? Who did the will of his Father? Jesus gives a parable here. He's speaking to religious leaders. Religious leaders are already pretty much upset with Jesus. He had just had that triumphal entry into the Jerusalem. He went in there and he threw out the money changers. So they're upset about that. The kids are sitting there singing his praises. They were upset about that. He goes, he leaves. They try to trick him and say, well, by whose authority do you say this? And then Jesus says, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. Was John of God or not? I'm talking about John the Baptist. And they didn't want to answer that either. And Jesus says, well, I don't have to answer you either. So at this point in time, they're really upset with Jesus. And so Jesus gives them the parable, something to think about. And I do want to encourage you today, are you, will the Lord be pleased with your work? Think about some of the verses that are written there. Luke 10:2, you say, Lord, you say, Pastor, I don't know how you're saying that God's given us a job to do. Over and over in the scriptures, there is responsibilities he gives us as individuals that are part of a local church. He says, therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. God is looking for laborers. He is looking for workers. And he said, well, Pastor, he says, all we need to do is pray. Well, number one, to labor is to pray is to labor. If you're truly going to get a hold of God, you're going to have to labor in that prayer. And I can't, in my own personal opinion, if I'm praying for souls, and I'm praying for people to go, you know what God's going to do? He's going to tell me to go. And the only way I'm going to ever be able to be right and have my prayers effective is if I'm obeying the Lord. So if I'm out there truly praying that people would be saved, praying that our church would reach somebody through the ministries of the church, somebody would be saved, all those different things, you know what God's going to do? God's going to speak to our hearts about our responsibility to see people saved. Mark 16:15, he puts it this way, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He even says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Wow, we have a lot of skinny people out there if they did that, a lot of skinny kids. You know, imagine how much food we could have based off of how much we actually do a work for God. I don't think a lot of us would be very fat today. He's called us to do work, right? He's called us to tell people. He says if we don't do the work, then we shouldn't eat. I know what you're saying. Well, that's talking about physical labor, this and that. And I get all that, but still the same principle there. He's given us a job to do, and it's important. We were looking for God's blessings. But not only whether we should do it and that he's calling laborers, but think about how he says how we should do it. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. He said, not only just do the work of the Lord, but do it heartily. And if each person that was part of a local church would get involved with the gifts and talents that God has given them to do the work and do it in preferring one another and do it in a way that is described in the Bible as a beautiful picture, it gets working simultaneously together under Christ as the head of the church and how the body would work together. Man, it's a beautiful picture, but he says, whatever you're going to do, make sure you do it to the glory of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if we're going to do the work of the Lord, it should not be second rate. It's something that we should put our whole heart in, and we should do it to our best of our ability. Now, I know sometimes because of limited resources and because of limited time, we might not be able to put into it as much as we can. But we should not be putting in more work and effort for the things of this world than we should be for the things of God. We shouldn't be a people that God's saying, hey, I got a work for you to do. I got a job for you to do. And we put them off and say, let somebody else do it. The work of the Lord. And so in this parable is going to say, and it doesn't use these exact words, but to help us understand who did the will of the Father. Proverbs 18:9 puts it this way. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. There's many people that are slothful. And they're slothful. You would never catch them being slothful maybe at their house. They never maybe catch them being slothful maybe at their work where they get a paycheck. But there are people that are slothful, unfortunately, inside the work of the Lord. And so that's why I want to encourage you tonight. And I'm not trying to, at the end, I'm not going to pass out a survey for you guys to fill in all the new jobs you're going to do. That's not my intention. My intention is for you to do the will of the Lord. That's what I want with your life. That's all I desire, is God's will for your life, what it is, and making sure that you do it. Proverbs 16:3 puts it this way: commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. One of the greatest challenges in our lives is to make sure that we have a proper thought life, a clean thought life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. If we want to have a clean heart, clean thought life, we're going to have to commit our works to God. And say, Lord, it's not my life, this is yours, I'm giving it over to you. So let's look at this parable. I already gave a little bit of introduction there. For sake of time, we're not going to read the whole chapter, because there's only really that one phrase I want to look at. But right now, the Pharisees are not very happy. The religious leaders are not very happy with Jesus. It says, and we'll start in verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And what are they referring to, and we cannot tell? They're saying about John the baptism, whether the baptism of John, whence it was from, was it from heaven or from men? And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. He says, I ain't going to tell you anything, because you're not going to listen anyway. But then he tells them a story. And once again, our theme this year is consider. When we hear these parables and we think about these things, there are things that we need to consider. He wants these religious leaders to consider this truth. And inside this little parable, there's a phrase that I think we can apply to our work today. Verse 28. He says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. Now, if you're a parent right there, you're thinking, yeah, you will. You definitely. See, God doesn't force our work on us. God, he calls us to do it. So we see here, he says, I will not. Then he says, but afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. We all think, hey, there's the good guy. He looks right. He acts right. He's going to do what his dad told him to do. But it says, and went not. So the first son said, no, I don't want to go, but then responds and then repents, and then he goes and does the work that God's called him to do. Now the second son says, yeah, I'll go. And he says, yeah, that's me, but never does it. Now they give an interpretation here, or an explanation of this for the people he's speaking to in verse number 31. He says, whether them twain did the will of his father. That's where we get our title, who did the will of his father. They say unto him, the first. Now earlier they didn't want to answer the question about the baptism of John. They didn't care about that. But here they're answering the question. They're saying, yeah, of course it's the first. And Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now, that's a sting right there to them. These religious leaders thought very highly of themselves. Yeah, of course I'll go do the work, anything to make them look good outwardly. But he says, look, the harlots and the publicans, the people who have sold themselves and sold themselves into sin, they're going to get to go to the kingdom of God before you. And the illustration here, he's saying, look, when they heard the preaching and teaching of John, when they were presented with the truth, they responded. At the beginning, they rejected it, but they responded. And when they responded, it says that they repented and they began to do the work that God's called them to do. Then you see here, it says that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. So he came to the religious people. They chose not to believe in what he was preaching, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So what the scripture is saying, you even watch the publicans, you even watch the harlots respond, get right with God, and still you chose not to believe. And he's saying to this group, he says, you've missed it. He says, you might look right, you might say the right things, but you're not going to the kingdom of God, because looking right and doing the right things does not get you to heaven. He says, the things that get you to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So tonight, what I'm interested in is the little phrase that's found there, and I believe it's in verse number 28. He says, but what think ye, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And I know the context of the parable is referring to the religious leaders trying to get them to become understanding that they are in need of God and that the religiousness or their way they look and the way they act isn't going to get the job done. But I like to look and take that phrase, son, go work today in my vineyard, and apply it to our lives today and the type of work that God's calling us to do. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I know it's your desire, and Lord, it's my desire. I believe it's all of our desires, at least most of our desires, that we would be a church that would be pleasing to you, that we live by faith, we do what we do here at the church by faith for you, and Lord, that we would work together as a group of believers. Some of us are different than others. Some of us have different backgrounds. Some of us have different likes and dislikes. But it's a wonderful thought how you've put the church together with a group of people to do a work together for your honor and for your glory to reach people, to bring much fruit. And God, I would pray that we would be a church that's found in Philippians chapter number 2. And we would be a church that's found like in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And a church that's described in Romans chapter 12. Ones that would prefer one another. Ones that would look unto the needs of others before ourselves. That we would be a church that realizes we have a gift. But that gift is not to be kept to ourselves. But a gift to minister one to another. Tonight, help us understand you've called us to do a certain work. Lord, help us to see that it is an unfinished work until you come back. Help us to see that it is an urgent work. And Lord, also help us to see it's a unique work. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's three things I want you to see here, and I don't think we're going to be here long tonight. But the first thing I want you to think about is he says, go work. The father goes to the son, and he says, the first son, and he says to him, look, go and work. So there's a job to do. And I want you to understand that the work that God has given us to do, it's unfinished. There is still much to do. There's still much work to be done. There's still much land to accomplish, and there's still much things that are there and possible for us to do. Think about what the verse we read earlier. The harvest truly is great. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, see what the scripture is saying there. He says, look, there is a great harvest out there. And even though there has been many that have been saved, there's many who have put their faith and trust in God, there's many who have believed, the work is not done. The work is not going to be done until Christ comes back, until his church is finished and complete, and he takes home his bride. We are to do the Lord's work. It is an unfinished work. It's not completed yet. In every generation, God has given believers a work to do. They have a responsibility to be a witness. They have a responsibility to evangelize that generation for the cause of Christ. And as we see the day approaching, as we see the day that Christ may be returning, this is not the time to quit working. This is not the time to throw in the towel and say, you know what, I'm just going to cruise the rest of the way out. No, this is the time to say, you know what, it's dark, the night is dark, and we need to be doing something. We don't need to just sit back and just watch. And that's why he goes up to the son, and he says to the son, he says, go to work. And I want to encourage you today, make sure you're working. The first thing is, go to work. The work is unfinished, and there is a work that needs to be done. Now, when you apply that to evangelism, which is the greatest work that God's given us to do, but as a church and as a local body, you know what? There is work that's unfinished. There's work that needs to be done. There's things that need to be done. And I'm not just talking about specific things when it comes to doing things around the church, but it does apply there. There is things that go undone because of the fact that there are people who are choosing not to do the work. And that's when he comes and he says to him, okay, which of these two sons? The first one, he said, hey, look, go into the field. He says, I'm not going to do that. But then God works in his heart and he responds, okay, I'll go do what you told me to do. Then you got another people that sit there and say, yeah, count me in, I'll do it. But then they respond and they never do it. He's saying, which one is doing the will of God? The one who got his heart right, and the one that listened to God, and the one who goes out and does what God's called him to do, or the other one that wants to look good on the outside and wants to sit and say, hey, look at me, of course I'm willing to help, but then never does it. Who's doing the will of God? And I want to encourage you today to answer this question for yourself. Am I doing the will of God with the gifts that he's given me? Am I doing the work that God's called me to do in this church and outside these church doors by reaching the lost? First thing I want you to see is it's an unfinished work. When it's something that we got to remember there is a work that needs to be done. Now, to apply this, I'll use an illustration. My wife loves it when I use sermon illustrations. The only person that loves it more is Andrew. And so we'll use both of them tonight. My wife will maybe sometimes give us something to do at the house, some work to do, you know, especially if she's gone or she's doing something. Hey, can you take care of maybe picking up the downstairs? Now, Andrew's version of picking up downstairs, I'm not even using your room, Andrew. So Andrew's version of picking up downstairs versus my wife's version is two different things. Andrew will spend a minute or two, and I'm using him, but I'm probably worse at it than Andrew is. She's shaking her head, yes. But she'll give us something to do, and then she'll come home and she says, well, why didn't you pick up downstairs like I asked? I did. And it's the idea, she's like, no, you didn't. Now, I did do something, but it wasn't as much as she thought it should have been done. And she says, well, it's sitting right there. Why didn't you see it? And I'm thinking, I didn't know you wanted that picked up. Why didn't you tell me? And it's an unfinished work. And I think God sometimes is looking and we're doing things, but we're not really doing the things that are right in front of us. You know, my wife will be like, it's sitting right there. It's obvious. And me and Andrew, and we'll even throw Christian under the bus, will all say, we don't think like you do when it comes to cleaning. If you want something done, please tell us what you want us to do, because we think the job is done. We think the job is finished. But it's not. And it's not like she's some type of hard taskmaster, and it's not like she asks us to do a whole big bunch all the time. It's just the idea that when we think something's accomplished, she's like, it's not done. She has to do it anyway. So I tell her, well, if you're going to end up doing it anyway, you might as well do it at the beginning. And that's normally what happens. But there's an unfinished work. You know, sometimes we feel like in our effort, in our ability, we've done what we wanted to do, what we thought needed to be accomplished, and we're happy now with how things have accomplished. We're happy with the work we've done. But just like we're not really truly doing the will of my wife the way that we clean, are we doing the will of our Father the way He's asked us to do it? We come, we give. Should we come? Yes. Should we give? Yes. Should we serve? Yes. But are we doing it according to the will of the Father? If we leave out something such as prayer, Bible reading, being a witness, being an encouragement, there's a long list of things. If we leave certain things out because we're happy with the work that we've done, we've left our job unfinished. Now, don't get me wrong, the work of the Lord is always going to be continually, always going to be working. There's much ground to be covered, and that's the next point, is about it being urgent. But the work of the Lord is something that's unfinished, and He says, now I want you to go do the work. Now, I want to think about it. Is the work that God's given you to do this past week, are you finished with it? Have you done what He's spoken? Have you done the will of God for your life this past week? Second thing is, not only is it an unfinished work, which means go work, it is an urgent work. And that's when the guy says in verse 28, which I think is referring to Jesus Christ, he's saying to the believers, he says, son, go work today. Now, those who repented and got right would be the believers. They'd be part of family. They would be part of the Son of God. But in this parable, he's teaching a story, and he's trying to help them understand the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He's trying to show them, you have a need for God. You've missed it. You look right. You act right. But you're missing the most important thing. You say, yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll do this. But you're sitting on the outside. So he answered, and he said, son, go work. And he says, today. Today. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a person that likes to put things off. Now, it's not because of the fact that I like to be lazy or procrastinate. It's just the fact that I get really motivated when something has to get done that day. I got a long list of things that need to be done, and I work through the things. And if I wait till that day, I usually get it done because it has to be done. It's an urgent work. It's something. He doesn't say, hey, you can pick the time that you want to do it. And he said, you can wait now or you can do it next week. No, he says, son, go work. And he uses the word today. John 9:4 puts it this way, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's a day coming that you're not going to be able to do work like you can do here in this world. There's going to be a day coming when we're not going to be able to reach the souls of man. There's going to be a day coming when it's coming. And like we're saying, hey, it seems like it's coming really soon. It seems like it could come even now, and it could. So why in the world are we not having urgency in our work? Why in the world are we putting things off and saying, man, that sounds like something really good. I'm going to get right with God tomorrow. I'm going to get right with God next week. I'm going to learn how to be a witness. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that next time. No, he said, look, I want you to go. I want you to go work, and I want you to do it today. There's a will of God that he has for you even today. There's something he desires for you to do. Proverbs 10:5. I enjoy this verse. It's convicting to me. He that gathereth in the sun is a wise son. So the application there is a person who's gathering when it's supposed to be gathered, that person's wise. But then the rest of the verse says, he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. He that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. That's Proverbs 10:5. And I know people, you say, well, that's for work. That's talking about being lazy when it comes to that there's a harvest out there that needs to be taken in. And if it's not taken in, it's going to be worthless. And I know what you're saying in a physical thought and in a physical sense, talking about the work that needs to be done to help bring in the harvest. But spiritually, it's the same thing. He's saying, hey, it's white unto harvest. He says there is a great work that's out there. It even goes as far as saying the harvest truly is great. There is a great work that needs to be done, and it's urgent. You need to go today, because if you're sleeping through the harvest, you know what that is? That's a shame. You bring shame to his father. You bring shame to God because I'm not doing the work that he's called me to do. And he says, the son, he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. And I know we say we love the Lord. I know we say that we sing the songs. I know we like to be that person that says, I will, like the ones who said I was going to do it and never did it. But are we doing the work that God's called us to do? Are we doing the will of the Father? It's a urgent work. Go work today. You know, there's a lot of people out there today that have never heard. One preacher put it this way, we should be out of breath for God. We need to let the Holy Spirit deal with us. We should let him search our lives, our calendars, our appointments, our days. We should let the Lord say to us, give me those hours, give me that part of the day, give me that time. And that's the reality is, many of us waste our time on a lot of things. You say, Pastor, you're saying I can't have any type of recreation. You're saying I can't have any type of entertainment. I've never said that. All I'm saying, are you doing the will of God? I don't know about you. Like I said, in the last 6 months, I became a Facebook user, and I've been looking at things a little bit. There are some people that spend a lot of time on Facebook. Not a lot of people that I know, because not a lot of my friends would do something like that. There's some, I know some people can't do too many other things. But on average, they say people watch TV 5 hours a day on average. Isn't that crazy? You know how many times people check their phones and how much they're on Facebook and all those different things. And that's just for the entertainment side. There's hobbies. I'm not going to be anybody's friend by saying, you know, fishing and hunting and sports and all these other things. And I guess saying, are you doing the will of your Father with these things? He's saying, go today. He says, go into the field today. And so I'm wondering if, once again, nothing wrong with having some recreation, nothing wrong with having some downtime, but if we would take those 5 hours and say, hey, I'm going to give those 5 hours to God, you'd be like, yeah, man, I'd be super Christian then. But we're okay with watching TV for 5 hours and only spending a few minutes for God. Is that really being urgent in our work? Is that really something that we're saying, okay, I am seeing this. Out of breath for God. When's the last time we've been out of breath for God? I know sometimes when I have done different things, when I'm not in very good shape, and sometimes I'm breathing heavy. Somebody looks at me and says, what are you breathing heavy? And it's like, because I'm out of shape. But when's the last time we've really, truly been out of breath serving the Lord? And I see people here, and I see people work, and I see them work hard at certain things. I think it's great. But when's the last time we've really been out of breath trying to reach somebody for the cause of Christ? When's the last time we tried to bring someone to church that we worked hard at that? And it says, go work. It's not saying, hey, it's a take it or leave it thing. We're supposed to be able to do everything as unto the Lord. We're supposed to be doing it with all our hearts. We're supposed to be doing it heartily as unto the Lord. It's not only an unfinished work, an urgent work, it's a unique work. It's unique. So what do you mean? It's something that's unlike anything else. Look what it says here. He says, go work today in my vineyard. I would be honest with you, I know some of you are some of the most hardest working men and women out there. I see sometimes the effort that's put forth. I see even sometimes ministry that's put forth. I see the work. But to do God's work, it's done in a unique way. The amazing thing is God can use something that I'm saying to speak to somebody else's heart. I don't have to have a certain, God gives a person the words to say in order to approach somebody to be able to win. It's not about us. It's just about us being faithful. It's about us being a willing servant. It's about us. Yes, we should study. We should study, and we should know. We should have an answer and be ready to give an answer, give an account. We should be able to do all those things. But God is the one that talks. God is the one that works. God is the one that speaks to the person's heart. God is the one that draws the person. It's a unique work. There is nothing like rescuing the souls of men. There is nothing like doing the work of God. There's nothing like God speaking to your heart about meeting the need of someone else over there. There is the work of God that's unique to anything else because God's the one that does it. Zechariah puts it this way. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Then he says, for without me, ye can do nothing. So he's saying, son, I want you to go out into the vineyard. But he says, son, I want you to do it today. I want you to go work today in my vineyard. And we do a lot of things in the name of Christ. We do a lot of different things, and people are out there, and they do this, and they do that. There's many fine people that have their own agendas. There's many people that do their own things, and they can be busy as they can be. They call it God's work, but they do nothing for the cause of Christ inside their local church. It's a unique work. It's done. Yes, God works in the heart of men. God works through the local church. And then we find out what's going on and doing the work that he's called us to do. Remember, the Bible says it's a high calling. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My encouragement for you today is to find the will of God and do it with all your heart and do it with all your might. He's giving this as an example, as a parable, by saying, son, he's talking to his child there. Once again, he's, I believe today as we're applying to those that are believers, go work. He's got a work for you to do. He's got a responsibility. He's got a will for you. Are you doing the work? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Are you doing the will of God today? Go work today. It's an urgent work. It's something he's saying, I don't want you to put it off. I don't want you to sit there and consider it over and over. He says, I want you to go do what you know you're supposed to do, and I want you to do it today. And he says, in my vineyard. So I don't want you to go out, and I want you to work on your own things. I want you to work in your own agendas. I want you to work in my vineyard. I want you to be reaping the things that I want you to reap. So go sowing according to his passion. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling because it comes from God. So tonight when you look at this parable and you consider the religious leaders that are being talked to here, they didn't understand it. They didn't see it. The harlots got right. The publicans got right. And they still sat there and watched. They missed the boat. They were like that unsaved church member that would hear the teaching over and over, and they were content with just sitting there and saying, I will, I'm a Christian, and being a facade. You say, an unsaved church member? I believe there's people that sit in pews today that have never truly turned to God. I believe there's people out there today that, yes, they might have a head knowledge, but never truly accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And God's worked in their heart, and God's worked in their life, and God says, here's, and they missed it. But the application we're looking for tonight is, son, go work today in my vineyard. Are you doing the will of God? And when I read that question, he asked them this. He asked them, he came to the second, he says, whether of them twain did the will of his father? Which one did what God called him to do? He said, the first. They might not have looked the prettiest. They had a past. You know what? We all have a past. They had sin, and they had lived life the sinners. But he says, today, they're doing God's will. I want to encourage you today, are you doing God's will in this church? Are you doing the things he's called you to do? He's given us all gifts. He's given us all talents. It's nothing that we should boast about. But he didn't give us those things to just hide under a bushel. He gave us those gifts and those talents to use inside your local church and outside your local church for his glory and for his honor. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I'm thankful for the work that you give us to do, that you called us to do. The question to me is very convicting. The question, the title of the sermon is, are we doing the will of God? Not asking, are we doing the will of man? Not asking if we're doing what we think we should do. The question is, are we doing God's will today? Which one's doing the will of God? It's the one that is responding by doing the things he's called us to do. Sometimes we might have rised up against it. Sometimes we might have just been someone that said, I'm not going to do that. But then God, you work in our hearts and you show us a need. Lord, I believe that there's a group of people here that love you, and a group of people here that are doing some of the things that you want them to do. But Lord, I believe that many of us need to be completely surrendered to your will. And Lord, that involves reaching out to the lost. That involves praying, not just to pacify, but Lord, praying to get a hold of you, to seek you. Where I think many of us could probably do better with our Bible reading and our Bible studies, making a difference in this world. Lord, speak to our hearts about working in your vineyard. Help us to realize we need to completely and utterly depend upon you. It is a unique work that's unlike anything else because it's God that does the work. And he's the only one that can. Lord, we're asking you to do something in our hearts that no message can by itself, no song can by itself, but the Holy Spirit of God can do a work in us. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.